Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here for this Tuesday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You guys can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. We are tweeting out all the different updates to our draft guide. We announced it last week that it had dropped, and we have added content in there every single day. My top 250 overall rankings, position by position projections as well. For redraft, we also have dynasty rankings, strategy pieces, sleepers and busts. We have so much for you guys. That's just on the written side as well. We also have our draft tracker tools, which are coming to the website in the next couple of days. You can load up your drafts in real time, get them analyzed as you are going along. There's so much stuff, guys. The link is in the description of the episode for everything at our draft guide, and it is very worthwhile. So make sure you're checking it out there, sportsethos.com, and of course, follow along on social media, and you get all of those updates as they are coming out. We're doing another mock draft today. We are going to be doing a 10-teamer over on Yahoo. Not using Yahoo. We are going to be using Yahoo settings, but like we have been doing here in our mock drafts, we are going to be using the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard. It just allows me to customize things. It allows that there's not going to be random people coming in and jumping out and auto picks and weird stuff going on. Somebody comes in and drafts like, I don't know, Zach Wheeler first overall or something. You won't have to worry about any of that weirdness with the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard technology. It's really great stuff. We did a 12-teamer last week. We're going to be doing the same thing except 10 teams. I think the 10-team community gets a lot of hate for whatever reason. My home league is the only 10-team league that I still play in, and it's maybe the most fun league that I have because the rosters are stacked with talent. There's a lot of people who play in 10-team leagues, and I like to make content for everybody. 10s, 12s, 15s, you know, sometimes people play in even shallower or deeper leagues than that. Those are kind of the standard ones, but 10-teamers can get a little bit of unnecessary hate, so we're going to show them some love here today and go through this mock draft. It's going to be the standard Yahoo rosters, one catcher, one of each infield position, no corner and middle infield spots, which are very common in Roto. This is going to be more of a head-to-head type of draft. We're also using three outfielders, two starting pitchers, two relievers, four miscellaneous pitchers of any kind, and then two utility spots. And then as we usually do here, we are not going to be drafting the bench. We're just going to be drafting the starting lineup for you guys. So I think we have all the settings taken care of. I've decided to go at the turn at the number 10 spot here in the 10-teamer. I get the 10th and 11th best players off the board. I think in a shallow format, that does make a lot of sense. I mean, in the 10-team draft, there's no real bad place for you to be drafting. There's just so much talent across the board. But I think if you're at 10 and you're getting a couple of those guys, I'm not sure who's going to fall to me exactly, but a couple of those first-round talents, I think it is the best way to go, generally speaking, in a 10-teamer. So we're going to be drafting 10th. I'm just making sure all the settings are good here. We're using the Yahoo pre-draft rankings. And I think we are good to go. Of course, this is standard 5x5 as usual. And we are off to the races. Fantasy Pros is loading everything up here. You do occasionally see something that doesn't always happen in the first round, but Ronald Acuna Jr. still went first, followed by Corbin Carroll, Aaron Judge, and then Bobby Witt, Julio Rodriguez, Mookie Betts, Kyle Tucker, Freddie Freeman, and Fernando Tatis. First round is so deep this year. Like, there's really, you could order these guys in any which way, Acuna being kind of a separate issue. I did talk about him on yesterday's podcast. If you guys, it's not on YouTube, but in the Fantasy MLB Today podcast feed, I kind of went over the whole Ronald Acuna Jr. situation and my worries. It seems like he may have dodged a bullet there, which is good. But in any event, outside of Acuna, you can kind of arrange these guys in any order based on your own preference. Obviously, we all have our preferences and are going to order them a little bit differently, but it's not crazy to see it go Carroll, Judge, Witt, and Rodriguez. I'm sure a lot of rooms will look like that. Now, with the number 10 pick of the first round here, I am going to be locking in Spencer Strider because I want to take care of my ace. I don't need to, and you definitely do not need to be doing this in a 10-team league. It's not necessary. There are so many pitchers. You don't need to take Spencer Strider in the first round. I could go for Ohtani and Turner, Soto, Ohtani and, you know, Jose Ramirez or Matt Olson. Like, there's so many combinations you can go with. But I am going to lock down that ace on the best team in baseball, the guy who is going to lead, and, you know, assuming there's no injuries, he's going to lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts. He's, you know, good chance he has the lowest ERA. Wins are kind of tricky to predict as well, but I think Spencer Strider is a pretty easy selection here for me, 10th overall. They rank him as the top SP. His Fantasy Pros is liking that selection. And then on top of Strider, I think I will go with Shohei Ohtani. You're getting the five category production. The speed is not like massive, but at this point of the first round, the big speed guys have kind of gone. Carroll, Witt, Julio, Acuna, Kyle Tucker, Tatis, the 30 plus steal guys are pretty much gone. So if I'm locking in 20 or so to go along with 30 plus homers, likely 100 runs in RBIs with probably a 280 batting average with Ohtani, I've talked about how I don't really care about quote unquote, you know, clogging up the utility spot, especially early on. Take the talent. The talent is there with Ohtani. He is the best player still on the board here. Yes, there is concern when somebody comes off of a mysterious procedure in the offseason, but I think Ohtani is pretty safe based on what we've heard, based on what we've seen. I think we're pretty good here to take Shohei Ohtani 11th overall, which is generally where you're going to have to be paying if you do want some Shohei Ohtani shares this year. Now, after I go with Ohtani, it went Juan Soto, Trey Turner, Jose Ramirez, Matt Olson, Garrett Cole, Corbin Burns, Yordan Alvarez, Austin Riley, and Corey Seager. That is round two. Round three, we got Bryce Harper, Rafael Devers, Ozzie Albies, Zach Wheeler. Kevin Gausman is definitely risky right now, but he went 305. Pete Alonso at 306, Marcus Semien, Francisco Lindor, and Michael Harris. I am up here with a couple of really nice options on the board for me. Now, I don't need to worry about pitching starting pitchers for probably five or six rounds, and now that you got Strider taken care of, I can start shopping in like the 70 to 100 type of range. Strider is kind of like the pitching Acuna. He sets you so far ahead in the pitching categories that it's not a big concern for me. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is definitely somebody to take note of. I mentioned him in my notes on Twitter yesterday. His launch angles look really good. Exit velocities look really good. He's hitting the ball in the air, and he's hitting it hard. That was something that we were kind of worried about last season. The amount of balls he hit right into the ground was definitely concerning. Looks like he may potentially be turning a corner there. And still only 24. He's going to be 25 later this month. There's still a long way for him to go as well. I've taken care of some steals with Ohtani. Vladdy's probably going to give me a handful between 5 and 10. So one of my picks is going to be, excuse me, guys, something in the throat there. If this wasn't something that I was recording all in one, I would usually pause and cough off camera there. But there's only so much you can do here. This is where it's going to start to get a little bit interesting. I want to take I'm not going to take Ellie De La Cruz. It's tempting. It is tempting, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I think the guy that I do want to go with here is probably Luis Robert Jr. Again, you're getting kind of production all over the board, and that is my goal in the first couple rounds as much as possible. I know Vladdy is not a true five-category guy because he doesn't steal that much, and you know everything else is kind of a little bit in question with Vladdy as well, for sure. With Luis Robert, he's a 30-20 guy, potentially a 30-30 guy. Like somewhere, it's always, whenever people say that, it could be 27 and 32. It could be 31 and 28, but I think he's generally about a 30-30 guy. The lineup around him sucks, but I think he's a talented enough player that he can be self-sustaining. The example that I go back to is Bobby Witt Jr. You know, the last couple of years, absolutely dreadful lineups around him. You're still looking at 80, 90 runs in RBIs each year. I think Luis Robert Jr. can do something very similar. So we're going to lock him in here as my first outfielder at pick 31. And And Ellie De La Cruz goes right after. He went the pick after. So I was kind of thinking, maybe he'll come back to me. That's just not going to be the case. Ellie's expensive. If you want Ellie this year, you're paying up for it for sure. So after Ellie at 402, it went Randy Arozarena, Jose Altuve, Gunnar Henderson, Luis Castillo, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Kyle Schwarber, Adelis Garcia, and Bo Bichette. Kyle Schwarber going here. I don't know if they thought it was an on-base percentage league or something going on. That's too early for Schwarber. I love Kyle Schwarber. I love him, but he does bring down your batting average something awful. it's not pretty. It's not. And he doesn't steal. So there are definitely questions with Kyle Schwarber as well. As much as I do like him and you can fit him into the right builds, you have to really, really think about that team build. Starting off round five was Mike Trout, CJ Abrams, George Kirby, Adley Rutschman, Pablo Lopez, Zach Gallen, Tyler Glasnow, Aaron Nola, and Nolan Jones. Nolan Jones is a top 50 pick is definitely not something that I'm going to be terribly interested in. Let's take a look at the best position players left to me at this point. Machado going at 50 is just not cool. It's not where you should be going. Should be somewhere in the 70s. I think personally, 50s is just a little bit too much for me here. Jazz Chisholm is going to be somebody that I do take here. I am going to go for that upside. And I, again, the shallower the league, the higher the upside you can kind of shoot for. And a guy like Jazz Chisholm in a 10-team league is golden. If he doesn't pan out, if he gets hurt, you're not happy about it. But there are so many replacement level players on the waiver wire. You're only talking about 230, 250 players getting drafted. A lot of the drafts I've done this year, specifically 450 to 750 players get drafted. So maybe it's just me coming from having done so many 15 team drafts, but objectively speaking, you can build some stacked rosters and 10 teamers to the point where you can absorb some risk. And one of those risks that I think you should be taking, you know, not crazy too early or anything like that, but I think a risk that you can and should be taking is Jazz Chisholm Jr. If you look at what he's done the last two seasons, you put them together, it's about 160 games. You're looking at somebody who could very easily give you 35 and 30. Or maybe it's 30, 35. The same thing that I was mentioning with Luis Robert, that it could be some variation of the 25, 30, 30, 25, whatever. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of homers and stolen bases. The batting average is not amazing, but I have a really nice base of batting average with Shohei, Lubob, and Vladdy Jr. So I'm going to go with Jazz Chisholm, and I think I am going to go with another starting pitcher here and kind of change up my strategy a little bit just because I like him so much and he's still sitting out there is Logan Webb. I think he is a really nice pairing with Spencer Strider. They're both guys who are going to be really, really massive volume guys, assuming everything goes to plan, because with pitching, you never really know, right? What is the plan? Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Guys get hurt. But I think Logan Webb, you pair him with Spencer Strider. Webb is more the guy that you can really, truly count on, I think, in terms of the ratios. The ratios are really, really safe with him, and so is the volume. Strider showed us last year they can be a little bit more volatile, but those strikeouts are absurd. And honestly, Strider should be like a 3.1 ERA guy or lower. Realistically speaking, if Strider had a 2.3 ERA this year, I wouldn't be surprised. But it does come with a little bit of risk for sure. But I think balancing him out with Logan Webb, breaking from my own strategy a little bit here, but I think the two of them combined is a really, really, really nice pairing. Strider's got the massive, massive ceiling and Logan Webb with a really high floor. I think those two make a lot of sense to pair together if you're able to. Right after Logan Webb, it went to Manny Machado. Again, I think it's too early. Tarik Skubal, Max Fried, Edwin Diaz, Devin Williams, Paul Goldschmidt, Framber Valdez, Cody Bellinger, and Christian Yelich. Round seven, we get Josh Hader, Nico Horner, Zach Eflin getting pushed up into the 60s. I don't like that. I like Zach Eflin a lot. I don't want to see him get too expensive here as draft season goes on. Matt McClain, Freddie Peralta, Blake Snell, Royce Lewis, Grayson Rodriguez, and Christian Walker. We are up here at pick 710, 70 overall in the draft. Again, you know, I've taken care of pitching pretty damn well. I don't really need to worry about it. Starting pitching, that is. Closer situation, I am going to take Juan Duran with one of these picks because I think Juan Duran is supremely undervalued. He should be considered amongst the elite tier of closers, I think, but he's not for whatever reason. So let's just let people keep devaluing him for whatever reason. O'Neill Cruz is also damn interesting. And again, it's a shallow format. And when you are playing in shallow formats, you can take some risks. So I think Juan Duran and O'Neill Cruz is what I'm going to do here. Again, it's a little risky. If you're playing in just one league this year, you're shooting one league with your friends, this is probably not the strategy for you. This is something that I think you can mess around with if you have played in a bunch of leagues. If you're playing in one league and you have more of a tolerance for risk, then by all means. But O'Neill Cruz and Luis Robert Jr. and Jazz Chisholm, there is a chance that could blow up in my face and I could look terrible in a month, a month and a half. But I think the upside of those three guys is all, you know, realistically first round players. They're all potential first round players if things break right. The discount is steep enough where I will take that chance, especially in a 10 teamer. there's no problem for me in this particular format with those kind of risks. After O'Neill Cruz, Alex Bregman, Emmanuel Clase, Josh Lowe, Camilo Doval, Raisel Iglesias, and JT Realmuto. To finish off round eight, it was Ketel Marte, Xander Bogaerts, and Kodai Senga. Kodai Senga is interesting. Kodai Senga is not somebody I'd be taking here. Now, I think this is a product of – these are based on the expert rankings, and I think a lot of people probably haven't manually adjusted him down yet. I took him out of my top 100, Kodai Senga, because this could be something where we don't see him at all. We don't see him till July, or so. It's not good. So I've taken him out entirely, but I think the reason why he is still being drafted where he is here is because those people in the expert consensus rankings haven't actually updated them yet. I'm a part of the expert consensus rankings, but my rankings at this point are strictly for Sports Ethos subscribers. They'll be loaded up into Fantasy Pros a day or two before the season starts, just to I can take place in the accuracy competition. Mostly, you know, once you get 50 plus people in there, one or two others, it doesn't really matter in terms of affecting the overall landscape. I do it for the competition. But if you do want to see my rankings, they are exclusively at sportsethos.com right now. Round nine started off with William Contreras, Logan Gilbert, Gleyber Torres, Jordan Romano, David Bednar, Will Smith of the Dodgers, falling kind of later in this one than he usually does, Joe Ryan, Bobby Miller, and Ha-Sung Kim at pick 89. So I am up at pick 9.10 here, 910. I don't know exactly which direction to go here. I think I probably should take another starting pitcher in this range. We're getting to the point where I probably want a third one. Offense is pretty well taken care of, and that's why I like being on the turn. You can take a couple of guys here, and I got Yuri Perez sitting in there. That is some serious, serious upside. I think one of my picks will be Yuri Perez. And then is it too early to go for no, you know what? I think Yuri Perez and Andrés Muñoz is a good combination here. Yeah, let's do that. Let's go with Andrés Muñoz and then Yuri Perez. I think Muñoz is very safe considering the Matt Brash news that we got in Seattle. I don't know that there's going to be much of a competition now in terms of saves for Muñoz. With Yuri Perez, it's just strictly about what Miami is going to let him do. He left his start early the other day because he broke a fingernail. I had a heart attack. Everybody kind of had a heart attack thinking, oh, Jesus, you know, second spring training start. He's already done. Broken fingernail. So nothing to write home about. He should be fine. It's just a matter of if Miami is going to let him throw 140 innings. If he does, then he is a top 10 pitcher probably. If Miami lets him throw 110 innings or something, which, again, I don't really expect, but you never know with Miami. I wasn't expecting them to send him down last year either. So Yuri does come with risk, but the upside is absolutely through the roof.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Justin Steele followed him up at 10.02, followed by Tristan Casas, Jesus Luzardo, Nolan Arenado, Brian Reynolds, Nick Castellanos, Joe Musgrove, George Springer, and Alexis Diaz as the 100th pick. Following him, Yandy Diaz, and then Shane Bieber, Anthony Santander, Spencer Steer, Andrés Giménez, Josh Young, Dansby Swanson, Dylan Cease, and Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish, another one, very risky UCL, hanging by a thread at this point. Not good. And we heard some other bad UCL news today with Lucas Giolito. Looks like he's going to miss the whole season. Red Sox in shambles at this point. But I think my starting pitchers, my pitching in general, is incredibly good. I need to fill in a couple of those infield spots, second and third. I need one more outfielder and one more util. And, of course, catchers in this kind of format, I've said it so many times that I might as well, you know, it's going to be on my tombstone. Wait on catchers in shallow leagues. In one catcher leagues like this, a 10-team one catcher league, your very last pick or maybe your second to last pick should be your catcher. It's just the way of the world. They don't return as much value as we perceive them to, especially because a lot of the content you guys see, and I'm actually writing an article about this right now, a lot of the content you guys see is NFBC-centric. And that's because a lot of the people that you listen to play predominantly on the NFBC, and that's what they're going to talk about. Those are two catcher formats. Catchers get artificially pushed up the player pool because there are not as many of them when you need to fill two, especially for a 15-team league. And then you have Adley Rutschman in the fourth round and Will Smith in the fifth round, where realistically, they're not going to return that value. I did a tweet thread earlier in the offseason. You can probably find it if you search the word catcher in my tweets, going through value on Yahoo that was returned by catchers. And there were no catchers who returned top 100 value on Yahoo last year. Zero. So spending a top 100 pick on a catcher in a one catcher league is a really bad idea. It's just a really bad idea. I don't care if it's Rutschman or Will Smith or Contreras or Yiner Diaz, even the guys I like. Don't take him inside the top 100. There is just no need for it. They may return top 100 value potentially, but you do not need to be reaching for those guys. So I need second and third and the aforementioned catcher. Let's see who's left in the outfield here. Still, Seiya Suzuki is definitely an interesting target here. Second and third is my guy Tyro still sitting around, because if he is, it's always hard for me to pass up on Tyro. He is. Bryson Stott as well. Let's wait on second base, because I can get Tyro probably in a couple of rounds. So that's another part that's important with your drafts too, is just kind of, I can't say knowing the room here necessarily, because we're drafting against technology. But when you are drafting against your friends or whoever you play in your leagues with, if you know their tendencies, that really does help. And especially if you know the way their roster is currently constructed. If everybody else already has their starting second baseman, you're the last one, there's no need to rush, because those people are probably not prioritizing second baseman, you know, things of that nature. So paying attention really, really does benefit you as well. Looking at third base here, there's nobody that I really love necessarily that might be another kind of punt position. Let's see, I could go for, yeah, there's a couple of guys here that I can kind of wait on. Nobody that I need to be taking imminently. So third base and catcher will likely be two of my later spots. I think I might just take Bryson Stott here as my second baseman. Stay on brand. You guys know how much I love Bryson Stott. In that lineup, what he's able to do across all five categories is really, really nice. So we'll go with Stott, and then we'll go with Seiya Suzuki here as well. And they're giving me a value pick label on the Seiya Suzuki selection. He was usually going inside the top 100, get him at 111 here. Love Seiya Suzuki. If he's healthy, he's probably producing great value. Cole Reagans in at 1202 followed up my Suzuki pick, and then it was Teoscar Hernandez, Spencer Torkelson, Paul Sewald, Yiner Diaz, Tanner Bibee, Chris Sale, Sonny Gray, and Marcell Ozuna. Sonny Gray is an interesting one. We mentioned him on yesterday's show. He's got a hamstring problem that also sent him to the IL twice in 2022. I think it's probably wise to just stay away at this point. Justin Verlander is another one. Again, I don't think people have updated their rankings to this point, because it just happened this morning, a couple hours ago. But Verlander is going to open the season on the injured list. So 41 years old, you're going to start the season on the IL. That's probably going to be a no from me. But Verlander kicks off round 13. Chris Bassett, Carlos Rodon, Evan Phillips, Lane Thomas, Evan Carter followed that up. And then Ryan Helsley, Jordan Walker, and Walker Buehler. Lots of Walkers here. Now for me, at this point, three more pitchers, might just take care of those, because like I said, third and catcher, I'm going to kind of wait on. I need another utility as well. Let's see who I can round up my rotation with here. It's the beauty of a 10-team league. There's still so much value on the board, even at this stage of a draft where you're kind of just rounding out your team. I can go for Hunter Green. I can go for Hunter Brown, both guys that I like. Hunter Green is a shooting for the moon type of pick. 130 is maybe a little bit early for him. Jordan Montgomery is concerning, just because where the hell is he going to be pitching? Like, I'm so frustrated at this point with Montgomery and Snell. It's Scott Boras, right? This is all Scott Boras, the guy that we've all perceived to be this genius who gets Matt Chapman a one-year deal worth $18 million. Bellinger has to take a discount. I think Scott Boras is, you know, time is probably about done here in terms of being considered an elite agent, because he is not an elite agent. I don't care how much money anybody gets. This has gotten completely out of hand. And we've seen it this offseason that he is just not respected, whether it's by the front offices. Maybe it's something to do with the players. But why has Jordan Montgomery not been signed for 6 months? Why are we in the middle of spring training and Jordan Montgomery is not signed? Blake Snell won the Cy Young last year. I think this is a Scott Boras problem. But in any event, I could go on all day about Scott Boras. But maybe we'll take Hunter Green. We'll take a bit of an upside play there. Let's take Hunter Green. I'm just rounding out the pitching spots here. And like I've mentioned so many times, 10-team leagues, there's so many options available for you. I think in that utility spot, I might go with Josh Naylor. You know, the nice power to go along with speed and batting average. Let's do it. Let's take Josh Naylor here at a value. They are labeling that one a value pick as well. So I need, is it two more pitchers at this point? Two more pitchers, third baseman, and a catcher. Let me just recap who went after Naylor. It was Cal Raleigh, Michael King, Riley Green, Esteury Ruiz, Jackson Churio, Luis Arraez, Willie Adames, Francisco Alvarez, and Pete Fairbanks. Nice discount on Pete Fairbanks going to pick 140. Jordan Montgomery kicks off round 15, followed by Christian Javier, Sal Perez, Cedric Mullins, Anthony Volpe, Clay Holmes, Sean Murphy, my boy Tyro went at 15.08, and then Merrill Kelly at 15.09. So catcher, third base are what I need to be plugging in here. I think if I'm correct, then my third baseman that I want is probably still going to be on the board. I'm thinking I'm going to go Matt Chapman just real late. He's actually signed a contract now, so we know he's going to be playing, should be there for me next round. In terms of the pitching, I guess I could maybe use one more reliever. I might as well take Tanner Scott. He shouldn't still be available at this pick. They're calling it a value. I'm getting him at 150 overall. And then I'll finish off the pitching with one more starter. And this is where, again, maybe I'm shooting for too much upside at this point, but Hunter Brown is another year advanced in a great organization. His supporting metrics were really, really good. As my last pitcher, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Let's go with Hunter Brown, and then we will finish off the draft with catcher and third base and get those taken care of. So after I picked Hunter Brown, it went Kenley Jansen, Alec Bohm, Yu Darvish, TJ Friedl, Wilson Contreras in round 16 is a great, great buy here. Masataka Yoshida, Jose Alvarado, Nathan Eovaldi, and Zach Geloff. As we get into round 17, Eduardo Rodriguez, Ryan Pepio, Adbert Alzolay, Craig Kimbrell, Logan Ohapi, Jose Berrios, and Mitch Keller. Gabriel Moreno and Bailey Ober take us to my pick here at the end of round 17. These will be my last two picks, finishing off round 17 and kicking off round 18. Bo Naylor still sitting on the board. I love Bo Naylor. He's a catcher who can steal, who actually has some decent batting average upside. I mean, we'll take him. We'll absolutely take him here with the last pick. And again, 10-teamers, if it doesn't work out for any of these positions, just look at the guys who are going to generally be undrafted here. Trevor Story, Jackson Holliday, Tommy Edman, Edward Julian, Vinny Pasquantino, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Reese Hoskins. There's so many names across every position. These guys are not even going to be drafted. So with my last pick at third base, I will take Matt Chapman, and we will conclude our draft there. After that, it's Gavin Williams, Brandon Pfaadt. I got a B. I only got a B, 85 out of 100. They've been giving me some high scores throughout draft season. I'll take an 85 out of 100. It's not the biggest of concerns for me. It's still a pretty solid score. My team is Bo Naylor, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bryson Stott, O'Neill Cruz, and Matt Chapman in the infield, Luis Robert Jr., Jazz Chisholm Jr., and Seiya Suzuki in the outfield, with Shohei Ohtani and Josh Naylor as my utility spots. Spencer Strider, Logan Webb make up my first two starters, followed by Yuri Perez, Hunter Green, and Hunter Brown. The relievers are Juan Duran, Andres Munoz, and Tanner Scott. Guys, that'll do it. That is our mock draft. I think we've done 5-6 mock drafts at this point. I'm not even sure how many there have been, but there are going to be more of them leading up to the season, just to give you guys a feel of what is going on in draft rooms. We have a couple more real drafts we're going to be doing on stream here as well over the course of the next few weeks. So make sure you guys are subscribing to the channel. If you're listening on the podcast side, come over and check out the YouTube. If you're on the YouTube, go and check out the podcast feed. Hopefully we'll get you guys subscribing to both. That would really help us out here. And of course, in the description, go and check out everything we have in our draft guide. I've never been prouder of work that I've done in the fantasy space in 3 years. And I think it is really, truly worth checking out for not just my work, but the work of everybody on our fantastic team here at Sports Ethos. You can check it all out and support me directly and the whole team at the link in the description. But that'll do it, guys. We'll be back again tomorrow, and we will be talking about spring training news and notes as we usually do on Wednesdays. But until then, everybody, take care and have a great night.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.